So Russ has asked me just to continue preaching into your series on Colossians. To see if you're still awake. Or if you've been listening the last weeks. We are busy in Ephesians. Russ panicked there for a while. And Russ spoke last week about the end of hostility and just a wonderful word about how through sin, hostility came in between man and God and man and man, and that through Christ, He has reconciled us back to the Father. And because of that reconciliation back to our Creator, Heavenly Father, He's also reconciled us to each other. And I just want to go further this morning in Ephesians chapter 3. And it's amazing. It's a wonderful chapter 3, and it speaks a lot about uncovering the mysteries. I don't know who loves a good mystery. Yeah. Who loves a good whodunit, a mystery film or book? I don't so much, but Laura does. And Jeanette, yeah, I'm more the rom-com and the love story. But mysteries are intriguing. I don't know, maybe the younger people, maybe you don't read the mystery novels. Young people don't read as much anymore, but maybe you've been in who's been in an escape room? Yeah, I've been in an escape room. It was a frightening experience because I didn't think I would ever get out. But thankfully, I was with a group of young people. It was a young friend's birthday, and he invited me. I was probably the oldest guy in the room. His father was there as well. But I think if these young guys hadn't solved the mysteries, gee, they were so complicated. I think I'd probably still be locked up in that room today. But thankfully, we got out. But it's intriguing. Mysteries intrigue us. And the Bible is full of mystery. And God has created us. And God is sometimes a mysterious God. In Proverbs 25, verse 2, it says, "It is the glory of God to conceal things, and it is the glory of kings to search things out." And God has made us to be an inquisitive people, to want to find the answer, to actually, what is the story behind the story? We kind of said it in the prayer meeting this morning. What is the story behind the story? And so God has made us into a people who want to ask the questions. For any of you who've had children or know somebody with a two-year-old, what is the first question they always ask?
Why?
Why? So mom or dad says, "I want you to do this." And the question is, why? And so that's the question that comes back. And as we get older, the questions get more and more complex. And so we start asking things like, well, how and where and when? But sometimes we forget to ask the who question. Who put all this together? And so what God says in Romans chapter 1, He says about creation that He has made it plain and He has made it known that we would go searching for this God, that we would discover the God who has created all these things. So just as we continue to ask these questions and plumb the mysteries of God, friends, let us be asking that question, who? Who is behind this? And as we do that, we start to discover more and more the who is the person of Jesus Christ, who has been revealed to us as a man, who is now God, seated at the right hand of the Father, and who continues to long for a relationship with each one of us. So Paul starts this chapter in Ephesians 3, and he says that the mysteries of God, which have been hidden for so long, have been now revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. And it's almost like he's saying the mystery has been solved. The puzzle pieces have all been put into place. And I don't know if any of you like puzzling. Maybe the older generation, the younger people like the escape room, the older people like a puzzle. I like a good puzzle sometimes. And you got all the pieces, and you hope all the pieces are there, and you put the last puzzle piece in place, and it's like, bam, you see the picture, and it's wonderful. And you're like, oh, this picture is so good. You frame it, you put it on a wall. But this is what Paul is saying. He's saying, finally, the mysteries of the gospel have been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. So I just wanted, before we read the text, it's good to read the text, eh? But before we do that, Paul, sometimes he writes in a way which I find difficult to understand. He writes in these long sentences with a lot of commas and a lot of loose thoughts, and it's almost like he shotguns a whole lot of truth out there in loose sentences. And we've got to like scratch our heads and try and figure this all out. Am I the only one who has that with the writings of Paul? But I want to just summarize in a few points what Paul is saying in this text. And then as we read it, we can say, oh, yeah, that's what he's saying. So he speaks about the mystery, coming back to the mysteries, those hidden things about Christ. He speaks about the mystery of the Jews and the Gentiles becoming one through the gospel. And if we use this word gospel, who knows what that word gospel means? What is the gospel? It's good news. Good news to who? To the Jew and the Gentile. And in Christ, they are now brought together. He speaks about that he, Paul, is a servant and a steward of this good news, of the gospel, by the gift and by the enabling power of God's grace. He speaks about his desire to make the gospel plain and understandable and practical for all men. And I hope that's our heart's desire as well. That is not some mysterious, complicated thing, but that we can make it understandable and plain for all people to understand. He speaks about the plan of God is that through the church, these mysteries will be revealed and made known to the world. That is through us. And he speaks about our ability to approach, and it's the scripture for this morning as you go. Maybe you didn't notice it coming up the stairs. It's the scripture for this morning on the blackboard. That it is, we now have an ability to approach God's throne with freedom and confidence. Do we confidently, or do we, I'm not quite sure if God's going to whack me when I come into his presence. You know, if he knew what I did this week, yes, he does know what you did this week. You know, so sometimes it's like a child who's done something wrong and they're scared to come to mom or dad. But God knows what we did and he still invites us in. And so we can come with confidence and freedom into his presence. So these are the things that Paul speaks about in this text. So let's just read the text. It'll come up on the screen. I'm reading from the ESV version this morning. And Paul says, "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I've written briefly." So again, I read that, I'm thinking, I'm confused. It's like these incredible truths that he brings out, just a lot of commas and a lot of truths. And we need to unpack this. And he goes on in verse 4 and he says, "When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the least, very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone that is the plan, what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through him, through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory." So what I want to do this morning, there's many truths there. I just want to take out three, see how far we get, three truths that I just want to unpack. And the first is that Paul speaks about that mystery of Christ. Why was Christ a mystery? And so he says in verse 4, "When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ." And another translation says, you can perceive my understanding or my knowledge of the mystery of Christ. So Paul received knowledge of Christ, which had been a mystery, had remained a mystery. So we need to back up. So as we read through and as we do this letter in sections, actually, it's written as a complete letter. So sometimes on a Sunday, it might be you do a section, but it relates to something that has already been dealt with. So I just want to quickly go back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, which speaks about that mystery of Christ. And it says, "In him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood." And that word redemption is such an interesting word. And maybe you dealt with it then, but it speaks to buy something back. something that once belonged to me and I've lost it, but I now buy it back. We have been redeemed, and the purchase price has been the blood of Jesus. All humanity created by him, loved by him, it was almost that through sin it was lost. And Jesus comes and he buys back that which belonged to him. The forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will. Again, there's a mystery. The mystery. Lord, what is your will? We don't know. It's a mystery. According to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. So the mystery of the will, the mystery of the will of God is that Christ would come and that he would die for our sin. His life would be sacrificed for you and for me, that any and all who would believe in him would be restored in relationship to the Father. That has been the Father's longing and desire since the creation and since the fall, is that all men and all women would be restored back into relationship with him. That has been his will. And the mystery was, is that Christ, his Son, would come and he would be the perfect and final sacrifice to achieve that restoration. And Paul, this was revealed to Paul, and it was like the lights went on to him. The mystery was solved. Wonderful, eh? When we read through the Bible, we see there was so much that was hidden, was still mysterious in the Old Testament. And it was like the Old Testament was, there were many pictures and patterns and shadows of the things that were to come. There were clues to the mystery. It was like we were in the escape room and you're going around from clue to clue, but we still couldn't find the door, the way out. And suddenly Jesus comes and he is the answer. What was a shadow has now become the light. What was dim has now become bright. That's a good poem, eh?
Yeah.
But what was hidden in the Old Testament, and St. Augustine, he says it like this. He says, the New Testament lies hidden in the Old. So the New lies hidden in the Old, and the Old Testament is unveiled in the New. So it's a wonderful way to put it. That which was concealed, that which was mysterious, and as we read through the Old Testament, and as the Jewish people would have read the Old Testament, there were many clues clues to solve the mystery. But suddenly now in the New Testament, and as Jesus establishes a new covenant, it has been made clear. The mystery has been solved, and what was hidden has now become unveiled, and it is now plain for all to see. See, the gospel was hidden for many centuries. The good news was hidden. And you ask, well, why would God hide that? And I think one of the reasons why God hid the gospel, hid the good news, that people would only get clues of it for so long, was that he wanted to see that salvation was not through the efforts of man, but it was through God and God alone. Until God himself came to earth to die as the final sacrifice, all the sacrificing that was taking place was never enough to achieve the restoration and reconciliation to God the Father. And so it was only through Jesus Christ. And in that moment, all was revealed. See, the timing of God is so important. And Jesus came at just the right time. At just the right time. Remember that story of Mary and the first miracle of Jesus? They're at a wedding in Cana. And Mary, they've run out of wine, and Mary knows. It's interesting, she knew, because Jesus hadn't done any miraculous yet, but she knew. Moms know somehow. Yeah. Kids, if you're here and your moms are here, your moms know, okay? They know what you're up to, and they know what you're capable of. Your moms are like detectives. They've got a nose for what's going on. And Mary had a nose for Jesus, and she says to the servants, do what he says. She knew something was going to happen. He was going to turn water into wine. And what does Jesus say to her? He says, woman, my time has not yet come. And timing is important. Jesus knew that it was not his time yet, but it was his mum. Mum, my time has not yet come. But he goes and he does it. But it was interesting that Jesus spoke about his time had not yet come. And we see another story where Jesus heals a leprous man. And he says to the man, don't go and tell anybody. We're like, if you hear a miracle, it's on social media, it's on Facebook, it's on Instagram, it's on, tell everybody. And Jesus is saying, don't tell anybody yet. Why? Jesus says, because my time has not yet come. So the timings of God are important. And the time that this mystery of Christ was revealed and unfolded to us, it was important that the timing was right. And I just want to encourage you through this. Sometimes we can get impatient with God, and God has spoken things, He's spoken promises over us, and we like, when, Lord? When, Lord? And we get impatient. Yeah, anybody? See, I'm so glad I'm the only guy this morning who's... And Paul says in this chapter, Ephesians 3 verse 4, it has now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And it is like this weight of revelation had been building up for centuries. These clues and these shadows and these patterns and these pictures had been given. And it was like this thing had built up like a tidal wave of revelation that was to come. And the Jewish people were expectant, not all of them, but those who had that expectant hearts. And suddenly in Christ, it was like this door was open and this revelation came out as a wave over them. And it was like, yes, this is Him. This is He. This is the Messiah. This is the one we have longed for and waited for. This is the one our fathers and our forefathers spoke about. And He is now with us. So for some, their hearts leapt with joy at recognizing the mystery of the Christ was no longer a mystery. He was plain before their eyes. And friends, do not get impatient. If God has spoken to you, His timings are good and they're right and they're perfect. Amen? Amen. Some of you unmarrieds want to get married. Lord, give me a husband, give me a wife. I'm impatient. Be patient, be patient. Hold. Some of you want, God has promised this or that over you. Just hold in Him, be patient in Him. We don't always understand His timings, but they are perfect and they are right for you and for this church. Second thing this morning is being a steward of God's grace. That's another thing that Paul speaks about in verse 2. He says, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. So what is a steward? A steward is a person who manages someone else's property or financial affairs. One who administers anything as the agent of another or others. A person who has charge of the household of another. So Paul is saying he has become a steward of God's grace. Grace belongs to God, and Paul says, I now have become a steward. I think another translation speaks about being an administrator of the grace of God. And friends, this grace of God is the undeserved favor. It is that favor we receive. We do not deserve it, but God graciously gives us what we need. We cannot earn it. You cannot earn it. It is given graciously to you and I. And it is also that enabling power. So the Bible speaks about a grace to save, and it speaks about a grace to enable us in our lives. So you need a grace every single day. If you're born again by the Spirit of God, you've received a grace which has enabled you to be made alive in Christ. But every single day that you wake up, you need a new grace by God to get through your day. And it is a supernatural empowering of God. And so often as Christians, we forget to ask for that grace. We think that first grace was enough, but there's a daily grace which we need. And I want to encourage you every day, wake up, say, Lord, I need your enabling grace, that supernatural ability to do what you've called me to do today. Amen. And so Paul speaks about becoming a steward of this grace. It doesn't belong to, it belongs to God, but He administers that grace, and we do that too. So Paul recognizes that he becomes a steward of this grace, but because God's timing is now, and now is now in 2022, we have now become the stewards of these truths. Isn't that wonderful? Paul became a steward of this mystery which was revealed to him. And now all these years later, we too have become the stewards of God's grace in our generation. So a question is, how are we stewarding And how are we doing with stewarding these mysteries that God has entrusted? It's an entrusted something he puts into our care. How are we doing with stewarding these things? Are we stewarding them as museum curators? That we treat these mysteries and these gifts and this grace of God as there's no life in it. You go into a museum, you see all the dead animals. You don't want to go to the dead, you want to go to the zoo or you want to go to the wilds. Hey, Speedy, go to the wilds of Africa and you see real elephants running around and trampling on people. But in the zoo, it's all dead. In the museum, it's all dead. And so we can become curators of the mysteries and the gifts and the grace of God, but we treat it as dead. We don't see it as something which is alive. Or we can be stewards that are just careless with these mysteries that have been given to us. And carelessly, we allow these incredible, valuable truths just to be reshaped by our culture. And our culture takes a hold of the truths and the mysteries of God. And it loses that sharp edge of the truth that God intended in his word. And everything just adjusts and becomes this big, mysterious swamp and there's no life in it. How will someone come and drink from these waters and find life? How can someone come and eat of this bread and taste the life of God? And so, friends, as God entrusted Paul and he entrusted the early church, he now entrusts us with those mysteries in our hands, in your hands, in this church's hands. What a privilege. What a privilege. Amen. Something valuable, something we need to guard and watch over. And friends, that's why theology is important. That's why truth matters. And it's important for us as we plumb the truths in God's word that we find out what did God intend, and we treat these things as valuable. And we do not allow the culture just to change the truth of God, that it becomes more palatable for people. And sometimes things are hard to hear. I find sometimes things hard to hear, but it's God's truth to us. And the third point is that it is through the church. Just such a wonderful thing, this, that God would see fit that it is through the church that he would reveal himself. I'll just read that in verse 10. It says, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Wonderful, eh? These things were revealed. The door went open. The lights went on. The tidal wave came with all the mysteries to Paul, the apostles, and the prophets in the New Testament. We see that was carried over into that early church, the church of Acts. And we see how it has come through to us. The church of God, the ecclesia, the called out ones, the priesthood of all believers. Into our hands, these truths have now been placed. The church has now become the steward of the mysteries of God. But sometimes as I look around and you look at church general, you think, oh my word, what a mess. How is this become the steward of the mysteries and the grace of God? It was something that Martin Luther fought for during the Reformation, was to put the gospel and to put these mysteries back into the hands of the common people. That was one of his big struggles, because the church system, the priests, were the only ones who were allowed to open God's word and to read and to interpret it. And so one of his struggles was to say, actually, these truths belong in the hands of the common man, you and I. But we see not long after the Reformation, we see it was no longer the elect few, but it became the select intelligence who took that over. The universities took over the control of the gospel. And so they became the ones who became the stewards of the gospel of grace. And so you had to go to a university to study, to receive the grace of God that you could go and minister. And there's nothing wrong if you've done that. But the intent has always been that it is through the church, it is through the common people. I'm not saying that we're common and But I'm saying it is the normal people, you and I, we are the common people. Amen. And it has always been God's intention that it is not through a select few, through the priest, and it is not through the institution, the learning institutions, but it is through us that we would be the stewards of this grace of God.
Very good.
Amen. To our people around us. Gee, I think what a privilege. I think if I was God, I wouldn't have done it that way. I wouldn't have done it that way. I would have gone maybe for the angels or something. But God chose you and He chose me through the church, that multifaceted, multicultural, Russ spoke about it, just the wonder of who God is reflected in people, that He chose us to show that wisdom to principalities, to powers, to the heavenlies, but also to the earth. I love what Paul says to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 4. He says, this is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ, not professors and not the elect few. This is how people should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. And friends, God is looking for faithful men and faithful women. Regardless of your qualification, regardless of what your standing of is in this world, God is looking for faithful men and faithful women who He can put and He can entrust these mysteries into their hands. And especially this morning, this mystery of Christ and of His grace toward us. So I want to remind you this morning as I close what this church is about. So you, Gateway Church, you exist for a reason and a purpose. And that is not only so that you can gather on a Sunday and have somewhere to meet other Christians. Your purpose is much bigger than just what's happening here on a Sunday morning. Thank goodness for that. Because you might have an hour and a half together on a Sunday morning, but what about the rest of the week? What happens when you leave this door? And I just want to remind you of something this morning. And it's not something I made up. It's something I took off your website. It's something that you made up in the Spirit. And I want to remind you this morning of what your website says, because it is a truth about who you are, and it is a truth about something and someone that you are becoming. Your website says, our vision is to be and do everything the Bible says a local church is to be and do. What a great vision. What a great dream. As to the special calling on this church, we want to be a gateway to God. Come amongst us and meet the one true living God of love and holiness. What a great invitation. Friends, Liverpudlians, Romans, lend me your ears. This is a place, a gateway where you can meet God, where you can experience His presence in a time of worship, and you can experience His presence while drinking coffee together. A gateway to new life. When you find God, you find salvation and a better life of blessing and service. A gateway to a new family. When we come to Jesus, we also become part of the greatest family on earth. You are a part of the greatest family on earth. And you know what? I belong to that same family. Amen. I do not live in this country or in this city. I live on the other side of the channel, but I'm a part of this family. Mm. And you are a part of my family. Incredible, eh? A gateway to the city. Through us, see our city in a new way and find a way to reach out and to serve it. A gateway to the nations. From us, go out with Jesus' commission to preach the good news to all nations. Friends, the mission of Jesus has not changed. It is exactly the same as it was when He rose back into heaven, sent the Holy Spirit, commissioned the disciples to go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples. That commission is exactly the same today as it was then. And we have now become stewards, administrators of that grace of God to our city, to bring the gospel to those who need it. And I said this at the Equip, what God calls us to do, He empowers us to do. Yes. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. That we can receive a call from God and we think, oh my word, how on earth do I do this? What God calls you as a church to do, He will empower you to do. He will lead you by His Spirit to do those things. He will provide for you in those things. In the finances that are needed, in the people that are needed. That people come from weird and wonderful places. See your flags on the back wall. That people come from different nations to come in and say, how can I help you? And when God calls us, we can be sure of this truth. His grace, His enabling power is sufficient for the task. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So be encouraged. Thanks. Yeah. Okay. Let's pray. Should we stand? Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for your words to us. And Lord, as we plumb the depths and the truths, God, of your written word, I thank you that you speak to us into our hearts. And I pray that this day, God, that you would have spoken to us, that you would have dropped something in our hearts, God, which has caused our hearts to leap for joy, as I'm sure they did for Paul, God, as the great mysteries of Jesus were revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, we want to be a people, God, that do not walk in darkness. We want to be a people, God, that do not walk in remaining mysteries, God. We want to discover what it is that you have for us. I thank you, Lord, that your timing is perfect for every single one of us. I thank you, Lord, that your ways are good for us. And I thank you, Jesus, that you have come to rescue us and save us and reconcile us to the Father. Friends, if you're struggling this morning, you've just been ministry, and I just want to make a moment just for you to respond to God and just respond out of that place where you are at. You know what? I've become so aware in meeting and talking to people that every single person has a story. Every single person is dealing with something. And as we see each other quickly over a cup of coffee, we sometimes don't see the person, we don't hear the story, we don't hear what they're dealing with, but God knows. God knows exactly what you are dealing with in your life today. It is not a mystery to Him, it is not hidden from Him, He is not unaware. And just in a moment of silence this morning, just bring that thing before Him. Lord, I am dealing and I'm struggling with this, Lord. Maybe it's misunderstand. You don't understand why something has happened as it has happened. Maybe you're not understanding why something is not happening as it should happen. Maybe it's hurt and pain from your past and you are struggling with that. God knows, He sees, and He understands. And you know what? He actually cares. He actually cares. And so, Father, I just thank you for every heart and every person this morning, Lord, and I just thank you, you're a God who ministers to us in your wonderful grace, Lord. It is that favor that you pour out upon us even when we don't deserve it. And I just pray, God, for a touch of your Spirit, that you would minister to us by your Holy Spirit this morning, Lord. Take off all pain, Lord. Take off the hurt, God. Take off those things which cause confusion in our lives. And I just pray, Lord, for a sense of clarity. Lord, that we would see you, that you would not remain a mystery to us. Jesus, that we would see you in your glory and in your light and in the light of your love and grace toward us, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that we would be a people that are in process, and as we continue to journey in you, we walk more and more into the freedom that you have given us, more and more into the understanding, Lord, of what you call us to do. And in that, God, we would find greater and greater joy. Return to us, Lord, the joy of our salvation, where we've lost our joy. I just thank you, Lord, that our joy would be returned to us. Where the devil has stolen, we take that back this day, Lord, and say no more.
Yes, Jesus.
So I just thank you, God, for a people that are free. A gateway church, Lord, that is a gateway, first and foremost, to you. Yes. That through this church, God, people would see who you are. And then, Lord, to our neighbors and to our neighborhoods and to our nations.
Yes, Jesus.
Let the mission never become more important than the one who commissions us, the one who sends us. And so we focus our eyes and our hearts and our minds and our lives on you, Jesus, and we thank you for who you are. And I just want to thank you for this church, God, and what a privilege to be able to stand you this day, God, and just to encourage them, put strength into their hearts, Lord. And I want to pray for them, and I pray for your amazing grace over every life and over this church and what you have done and what you are doing and what you will be doing, Lord. I just want to thank you, God, from the bottom of my heart for these friends and family of mine and Laura's, God. Thank you that you're our Father and that you care for us and love us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.